The Apostle Paul was a very intelligent man. He had a brilliant mind, and he thought deeply about the deepest things in life. He was a theologian, probably the greatest ever, besides our Lord Jesus, of course, who was God in the flesh. In many respects, Paul was also a philosopher, and he didn't shy away from engaging with the philosophers of his day. Now, if you've ever had trouble understanding something Paul wrote in one of his 13 letters in the New Testament, then be assured you're not the only one. The Apostle Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:16. Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So even Peter, a fellow apostle, said Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand. And this wasn't because of Paul's lack of trying. He worked very hard at trying to be clear so people would understand what he was saying. But despite his best efforts to communicate in such a way that everyone could understand him, those of us who don't have his towering intellect still struggle to understand some of the things he said. But even though Paul had a brilliant mind, he also had tender emotions. Now, in my experience, this seems to be quite a rare thing. Generally, people who have very high intellectual ability often seem to lack emotional ability. But not so with Paul. He was a very emotional person. He says this to the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts 20. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Paul didn't just warn them night and day, he did it with tears. He didn't just say things to people, he felt deeply about the things he said. In the text we're going to look at this morning, we see another example of Paul's tender and deep emotions. Here are some of his words from that text. "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel." What tender emotions, what deep love, what a heart for the lost. Paul is so burdened for his fellow Israelites who'd rejected Christ that he has great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. The thought of them being separated from Christ forever is almost too much for him to bear. It causes him great sorrow and unceasing anguish, to the point where he could wish that he himself were cursed and cut off from Christ, if that meant his fellow Israelites could be saved. Now, it's true, Paul knows such a thing isn't possible. He knows God has mercifully chosen to save him, and he knows nothing can ever change that. But in saying he could wish that he were separated from Christ forever, he's expressing the deep love he has for his fellow Israelites. He's expressing the deep desire he has for them to be saved. He's expressing his heart for the lost, a heart filled with great sorrow and unceasing anguish. This morning we're going to look at Romans 8:38 to 9:5, and we're going to see how Paul is a man with a heart for the lost. we're also going to consider three reasons why this is so. The first reason Paul has a heart for the lost is because he experiences God's unending love. Let's look at chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul experiences the wonderful reality that absolutely nothing can ever separate him from God's love. God's love for him is unending. Nothing can ever separate Paul from God's love because Jesus died for him and secured God's unending love. Because he put his trust in Christ, Christ's death guarantees that God will love him forever. That he will live with God forever, loving God and being loved by God. Paul experiences God's unending love. And it's so wonderful to him that it causes him to have a heart for the lost. He wants others to experience this same love, a love that will go on forever. And not just a love from anyone, a love from the eternal God himself. He wants to tell others about this love because he wants them to experience it too. Paul knows how good it is to be loved by God forever because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good that he has to tell people about it because he wants them to experience this same love. What about us? As followers of the Lord Jesus, we experience God's unending love. We know how good it is to be loved by the eternal God and that we will be loved by him forever. This should cause us, like it does with Paul, to want to tell people about Jesus so they too can experience God's unending love. Now, the second reason Paul has a heart for the lost is because he knows what their unending state will be. Let's look at chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Paul has a heart for the lost because he knows what their unending state will be. Cursed and cut off from Christ, separated from God forever. This causes Paul to have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. And he wants to assure his readers that he's being honest about this. He's not exaggerating. He's not making it up. And he makes this absolutely clear by saying three things that testify to the truth of his words. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. Paul has great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart, to the point that he could even wish that he were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of the lost. Now, in these verses, Paul is specifically referring to Israelites, but I'm sure he felt the same way about Gentiles as well. A couple of chapters later in Romans, in 11:13, he refers to himself as an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul has such a love for the lost that he feels he could wish that he was separated from God forever, if that would somehow result in people being saved. Now, he knows that's not possible, but these words express his deep love and sincere desire to see people saved. He knows how horrible it's going to be for people to face God's judgment. He knows there's nothing worse than being separated from Christ forever. and this causes him to have a heart for the lost. This makes him want to tell people about Jesus, to save them from the coming wrath. Paul knows what the lost's unending state will be. He knows they will face God's judgment and be separated from God forever, cursed and cut off from Christ. And this compels him to warn people about the coming judgment, to help save as many people as he can. It causes him to have a heart for the lost. What about us? Like Paul, we know what the lost's unending state will be, don't we? We know it'll be horrible. We know there's nothing worse than facing the righteous wrath of a holy God. So what are we doing with our knowledge? Are we warning people out of love for them? Are we telling people about the salvation from judgment that Jesus mercifully offers through his death and resurrection? Knowing what we know should cause us to have a heart for the lost. Now, the third reason Paul has a heart for the lost is because some of them are so close, yet so far. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Paul has a heart for the lost because some of them are so close, yet so far. In this case, Paul's referring to his fellow Israelites. In verse 3, he affectionately refers to them as my people, those of my own race. Paul's heart breaks for his fellow Israelites because they're so close, yet so far. They're the people God chose to reveal himself to. They're the people God made covenants with. They're the people God gave the law to. They had the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had Moses, the great prophet. They had David, the great king. And they even had the Messiah. Jesus was an Israelite. The eternal God became not an Australian, an Israelite. The Israelites are the most privileged and blessed people in the world. And yet most of them were rejecting Christ. This breaks Paul's heart. And he knows that he used to be just like them. But by God's grace, he revealed his son to Paul. And now he has a heart for the lost because some of them are so close to being saved, yet so far. Have you got people in your life that this is true of? Or have you known people in the past that this was true of? People who seem so close to trusting in Jesus, yet so far. I have some family members like this. They believe the God of the Bible is the only true God. They believe this God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. They believe Jesus is the Messiah. They believe Jesus died on a cross for sinners. They believe Jesus was raised from the dead. They believe Jesus is coming again. They believe in eternal life and eternal judgment. And yet they're not trusting in Jesus. In many ways, they're a lot closer than the Israelites were. Because out of the seven doctrines I just mentioned, the Israelites believed only two of them. In many ways, some of my family members are so close, yet so far. They intellectually believe the gospel, and yet they haven't put their trust in Jesus. So in that sense, they're so far. I'm sure we all know, or at least have known, people like this. who are so close to trusting in Jesus, yet so far. Our heart should break for them, like Paul's did with his fellow Israelites. We should have a heart for the lost because some of them are so close, yet so far. I don't know about you, but I find this passage to be incredibly challenging. When I consider Paul's heart for the lost and the depth of his love and desire for them to be saved, I'm reminded that too often I don't have a heart for the lost. Too often my heart doesn't break for them. Too often I have no sorrow or anguish in my heart, let alone unceasing anguish. And I suspect many of us are in the same boat with this. So where to from here? First, we need to confess our sin to God. We need to ask him to forgive us for not having a heart for the lost like we should, knowing that our sins are forgiven in Christ. Praise God. Second, we need to ask God to change us. We need to ask him to give us a heart for the lost. Only he can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Third, we need to have a heart for the lost by God's grace. We need to be praying for them regularly and praying that God would give us opportunities to tell them about Jesus. We need to think about who we could invite to church so they can hear the gospel preached and see the love of God's people. Brothers and sisters, may God be pleased to graciously give us a heart for the lost and work mightily in us to bring many people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the grace you've shown us in Christ. Father, we thank you for saving us through his death and resurrection, that you brought someone to us to tell us about the good news of Jesus and the forgiveness he offers sinners like us, and that you saved us, just like you saved Paul. And Father, we pray that you would give us that same heart for the lost that you graciously gave him, a burning and constant desire to see people saved, to see people come to know you, the God we know, to experience that joy of being in relationship with you, and the joy of the hope of eternal life, that we know that our eternity is secure in Christ, that we will be in your glorious presence forever and ever. Father, please forgive us for all the times that we haven't had a heart for the lost, where we've given them no thought, let alone a prayer. Please change us, Father. Change us deeply. We acknowledge we can do none of this ourselves. We have no power or ability in ourselves to make this happen. We can't manufacture up a heart for the lost. It has to come from you, the sovereign God. So, Father, please do this mighty work in us and grant each one of us here a heart that beats for the lost, that longs to see people come to know you and to know you forever. Father, we pray all these things through our Lord Jesus and for the glory of your gracious name. Amen.